All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting. It's our regular scheduled meeting for July 23rd, 2024. It is approximately 7:06 p.m. The board met an executive session this evening at 6 p.m., and we discussed personnel matters for the entirety of that time. We adjourned that executive session at about 7:04 p.m. So we are now ready to call this meeting officially to order, and I would ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Crisman. The first item on the agenda is our visitor public comment session. At this time, let me just do the normal housekeeping announcement that although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. To ensure all comments are captured by the recording device, everyone needs to speak directly into the microphone at the podium. For public comment, we ask that anyone coming forward during that session identify themselves, first name, last name, spelling your last name generally, so that we get it accurately in the minutes, and your address, because public comment is generally for residents. So it's important that our meeting minutes accurately reflect who is speaking and what they're saying. And so we ask everybody to not talk over one another and to clearly identify themselves. During the visitor public comment session, we typically invite folks up to speak for about 3 minutes. And I generally am the official timekeeper. And, you know, we just ask that you try to keep your comments to that time frame. And if it's speaker's going long, I'll sort of gently interrupt and ask you to wind up shortly. So with that, is there anyone that would like to come forward and address the board and place comments into the record? Okay. All right. Seeing as no one is coming forward, we'll close this visitor public comment session. We do have one at the end of the meeting also, so there's another opportunity to speak. That takes us to the consent calendar. The items on there are four items under the consent calendar. If you have a copy of the agenda, which is posted in the front of the room or available in the front of the room, you can see those items. The board has the ability to offer a motion approving all items on the consent calendar in one motion, or the board can also break down each of those items separately and call for motions on each. So it is the discretion of the board. So with that, I ask my colleagues, is there a motion? Do you have a preference?
I'll make the motion that the consent calendar items A, B, C, and D be approved.
Very good. Motion is made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second to his motion?
Second.
The motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Are there any questions or comments? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion and approving all four items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously, and the items on the consent calendar are all hereby approved. That takes us to new business. The first item under new business is A. It's the approval of Resolution 2024-18. This is the authorization of a sponsorship and submission of requests for funding for the 2024-2025 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. Mr. Crisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, each year we look to file for the Local Share Municipal Grant. As you know, the township has the opportunity to solicit funding through the county's gaming grant program. Before you tonight in Resolution 2024-18 is a request for Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, the apparatus debt service. Each year we've made that our number one request of the county. They've honored that thus far. The other departments have reached out looking for funding for different projects. So the total debt service, I want to go back to the Volunteer Fire Company request for this year, is $156,390. The second item up is a series of requests through the police department for a total request of $94,596.78. That would include the purchase of 8 new electric police mountain bikes, 1 mobile speed display trailer, and 4 stationary speed display boards. And lastly, the township's public works department is looking to acquire a new dump truck with associated plow and all of the equipment that comes with that. That's for $358,997. The resolution that you would be approving this evening would be a part of that application package for the local share grant. And we'll have to make some formal presentations to the county as that process continues. So Lieutenant Roach and I believe Mr. Clark are prepared to go to the county to address those requests on our behalf. And I believe a representative from the Volunteer Fire Company will be there as well to discuss the debt service. So are there any questions from the board at this point?
So Supervisor Zamuda and I sit on the transportation work group, and we talked all the time about the issues with speeding around the township. And so when we had our organizational meeting this morning, we both agreed that we'd like to see the number of display boards increased and the trailer increased so that we have more of those available to place around the township when residents come to us and ask, hey, we're seeing speeders, something immediate that the PD can go and stick those out there and monitor the speed. I think I got that.
Or have events that need to be.
So if that's possible to add a couple of those speed assessment items to that.
I think what we came up with is doubling the number of stationary display boards from 4 to 8 and adding an additional trailer.
Okay. Lieutenant Roach?
Yes, I'll, as Mr. Zamuda said, currently the submission that I presented to Mr. Crispin included 4 stationary display boards and 1. And as such, I will contact, I believe the chief actually has a better relationship with the sales vendor for this particular project. So I'll have the chief ask for updated quotes for those devices.
And I would just recommend that if the rest of the board is interested in making that change, if you would modify a motion that you may make this evening to adopt resolution 2024-18 to include those 2 changes so that we can modify that. We'll modify that in the morning so that it's prepared for submission when the grant's completed.
Okay. Sounds good.
Just out of curiosity, is there a quantity discount?
I can't answer that accurately.
I know it's because if it's, I'd just be curious. Okay.
The current quotes actually reflect a discount. The itemization doesn't say why the discount applies. I just simply see it says discount on the quote.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any questions about any other of the items on the either the ranking or the items requested from any of the members of the board? I would just add before we ask for a motion that it demonstrates when you look at the total value, the total cost of these items, whether it's fire apparatus, the items the police department is requesting, or the dump truck with a plow, it's not anything anyone, if you're not in this line of work, you wouldn't have firsthand knowledge of how expensive this apparatus is and why it's so important that we request gaming grant money to help the taxpayers in our community, all of us, offset the costs of these items. All of these items directly correlate to better service from all of the entities receiving the items they requested. So it's, in the past we've entertained non-township requests. I think over the years we've realized the needs of the township and the taxpayers in this community really dictate that we focus our requests on township needs. So I, for one, am very supportive of of the request and the rankings. But with that, I'll ask, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that resolution 2024 TAC 18 be authorizing the sponsorship and submission of requests for funding for the 24-25 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program be approved, contingent upon the increase in quantity of the mobile speed display trailers from 1 to 2 and the stationary speed display boards from 4 to 8.
Very well. Motion has been made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second to his motion?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any comment or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is B. It's the consideration of resolution 2024-19, authorizing the submission of a grant application to the Commonwealth Financing Authority Multimodal Transportation Program for the Hockersville Road Improvement Projects. Mr. Chrisman, maybe Mr. Stump?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess before I turn it over to Mr. Stump, just to give the board kind of an overview, as we had discussed at our last board meeting on July 9th, the supervisors did request that the administration take a look at preparing an application for submission for this upcoming CFA multimodal transportation grant round. The project that was identified, as you've noted, is Hockersville Road Improvements. And specifically, that would be removing a vertical curb and improving sidewalks or closing sidewalk gaps that exist along Hockersville Road between Ariba Avenue and Chocolate Avenue. The township is requesting that the Commonwealth Financing Authority fully fund the project. It's been anticipated that potential costs are about $870,324. The resolution that's in your packet tonight is required as part of the application process. And there's a few other administrative items included in that packet that we'll take care of should the board authorize us to move forward this evening. But I'll turn it over to Mr. Stump to maybe offer some comments as it relates to the specifics of the project.
Sure, thanks. The overall project, as we discussed at the last meeting, is really geared towards improving sight lines for the crosswalk down at Ariba Avenue, crossing Hockersville Road, as well as for vehicles at Ariba Avenue turning onto Hockersville Road. There's a vertical curve to the north right by 3rd Avenue that limits sight distance. This project would lower that vertical curve about 2 feet. There's some pictures. This is looking south towards the pedestrian crossing, and the next picture below that is looking from the pedestrian crossing back up the hill. As shown on the sketch here, essentially what's shown in yellow is the area that we envision being reconstructed. That would be full depth reconstruction, lowering the road at, you know, from 0 feet at the ends and then tapering, you know, up towards 2 feet near the intersection with 3rd Avenue, and then also lowering 3rd Avenue and chasing that back until that ties back in. In conjunction with the project, due to some sight distance issues along 3rd Avenue at Hockersville, we're also including a restriction on 3rd Avenue to one way away from Hockersville Road. So residents that live there would need to come down to Ariba to come back out to Hockersville. And then also adding sidewalk along both sides of Hockersville Road. There's some sidewalk there now on both sides, and we're filling in the gaps so that there's continuous sidewalk both sides of the road between Ariba and Chocolate Avenue. Chris had mentioned that the cost of the project, the estimate, should note that estimate did not include right-of-way impacts. I'm uncertain whether right-of-way may be donated for the project since it's a sidewalk and safety thing or not. At this morning's meeting, it was discussed that we should add in some costs for right-of-way. So I suggest amending the resolution to add $50,000 to that as a right-of-way placeholder. There would be some right-of-way impacts at least on the west side of the road, potentially on the east side as well. There is typically a 30% local match requirement with the CFA multimodal grant program, but municipalities may request a waiver of part or all of that local match. We've prepared the resolution as if you're going to be requesting a full waiver, but again, that could be amended as part of the resolution here tonight.
All right, any questions then for Mr. Stump on this project, on the motion? I'm supportive of it. I would just point out for everybody in the room, if we're fixing that issue, we need to start thinking about how we address the intersection of Ariba and Hockersville, because that's a very difficult intersection. There's always traffic. It feels like there's always four-way traffic at that intersection, and it's a difficult. It's actually kind of frightening when you see pedestrians trying to cross it, because that just throws an added level of complexity for the folks that are stopped. You know, it's not a four-way stop. So, but you have people trying to make turns out of it. Of all the trouble spot intersections in the township, that one I think keeps flying under the radar. But
sneaky. If
we're going to fix the road right before it, we have to start thinking about it. And it might be just maybe a traffic signal improvement, a pedestrian. But I've seen other things around the township that might help there. But you know how it just that's if having driving up and down that street regularly, it's hard not to notice that as being a pinch point here. So. Anyway, just my thoughts. Is there a motion?
No, Mr. Chair, if I may, we have discussed that intersection for the last couple of years in the transportation group. In fact, today we discussed that, and we talked about installing those flashing crossing lights in that intersection.
It's going to take something like that, because I think that could be effective. Right. I don't think it should be a signalized intersection, but the traffic, the pedestrian lights that we have on Coco, I think would be very effective there.
And that's what we discussed.
Off of the Ariba?
Okay.
We started that discussion a year or two ago.
Well, we got. Let's see if we can bring that to fruition during this period of time that we're trying to get this, you know, project completed, because it'd be nice to have them done in tandem.
That's exactly what we anticipated.
All right. Excellent. So again, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve Resolution 2024-19, authorizing the submission of a grant application to the Commonwealth Financing Authority Multimodal Transportation Program for the Hockersville Road Improvement Project, and that the application be amended to include potential right-of-way costs of $50,000.
All right, very good. Motion is made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any questions or further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is C. It's the consideration of a time and material contract with HRG, Inc. for the completion of design work for Chocolate Town Park. Mr. Chrisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you're aware, HRG has been our lead consultant for the project in the downtown Chocolate Town Park improvement project for the new Veterans Memorial. We are, as you can tell, if you've been downtown, we are actively engaged in demolition in the park, and things are beginning to happen. The memorial is moving forward. We are actively now entertaining the construction management phase of the project. As a result, the HRG was here before you, I guess, back in May. Or maybe it was earlier than that, maybe it was April. We were looking for an increase in the contract for the development of the plans for the construction of the park. That's been completed, and now we're looking for an additional $75,000 to complete the construction management portion of the project, and that $75,000 is a not-to-exceed number. If we would get close to that budget, HRG would be required to come back to this board for approval of any additional funds if necessary. But Ryan Cummins is here tonight if the board had any specific questions related to the project or this request tonight. He's here to answer any of those questions you might have.
The only question I have is not about the amount, but if HRG is going to be, essentially, they're going to be the project manager now, construction manager, correct?
Yes, we're basically taking over the role that CCM originally was going to do, the construction observation, doing all their daily reporting, reviewing the application for payments, basically everything that will get us through the finish line here.
All right, so in order to convince me to vote for this, will you promise me that you will have this done by Veterans Day?
I'm not promising you.
2024.
What level?
2025.
What level of confidence can you give me?
Based on the schedule that Hardin has provided, we are very confident that we will have about 95% of it done by that point. There's a few outstanding items just based on lead times, like the metal fabricating, that may or may not be done. That's the actual panels that will go on the memorial wall. Those should be done in time. They're anticipating it. The memorial gateway arches might be a little bit longer to lead time, so it really depends on that. Also, a few items like the plug plantings and some of the landscaping, just because of timing, we have allowed them that they'll be coming in the spring to just plant the remainder of some of that landscaping.
Okay.
But I'd say 90-95% should be done. The pavilion should be getting installed within the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
So there's a lot of moving pieces on it, but they're moving forward very quickly. They do have some float in their schedule, and they are showing us that they'll be done substantially complete by Veterans Day. Hopefully the weather's nice and everything goes according to plan, but you know,
all right,
like the promising construction world, especially in the world we live in now.
However, we did finish the community center within like 2 weeks of the date that we set for opening. So I have confidence in you, Ryan. I support this. I support you guys. But it's really important that we get to that 95% completion by Veterans Day, because we need to dedicate that. And I know that you can get it done. But I'm just saying, I know that we did a bit much, much bigger project, but it took a lot of... You got to really ride herd on all the different subcontractors, et cetera. But
Hardin's doing a great job. I know Chuck and Chris have been out there and
good.
They're on top of every detail you can imagine.
Good. I have great confidence in them. Thank you. All right. I won't belabor it any further. Is any other questions? Is there a motion? I'll go ahead and move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to execute the time and material proposal submitted by HRG, dated July 18th, 2024, for the completion of work at Chocolatown Park, but limit the scope to an amount not to exceed $75,000 without further authorization from the Board of Supervisors. Is there a second to my motion?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any comment, questions? Right, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. And just make sure in the meeting minutes you get in there that Mr. Cummings promised it would be done.
duly noted.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the removal of the existing roofing system of the former tax office building and the adjacent covered walkway, installation of Drexel Metals 24-gauge DMC 150 snap-lock standing seam metal roof. This is Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On July 10th, we opened bids for the removal and replacement of the roofing system on the tax office. We received two bids from Windy Valley Exteriors and Detweiler Roofing. The lowest bidder was Windy Valley Exteriors with a base bid of $92,370 and Detweiler Roofing with a bid of $224,000. Windy Valley is the same contractor that did the police department roof several years ago, as well as the Shank Park barn roof a year or two ago.
Good.
Excuse me. So as you can see, we had two alternates in there as well for snow guards on the standing seams, as well as replacement of the spouting. And that brings their bid to $92,370 and Detweiler Roofing to $224,000. It pretty much speaks for itself, but I did do a little looking into Detweiler. And the only thing I can really say for the difference in those two is that they do seem to do, according to their website, a great deal of historic restoration work. Whereas Windy Valley is not necessarily into that niche, but still does a lot of roofing, and we had great success with both of the systems we already have in place. So based on that, we're recommending that it be awarded to Windy Valley Exteriors in the amount of $92,370 to include both alternates.
Yep. Any questions for Tom?
I have a question. Tom, if this were approved tonight, time frame-wise, how long does it take? Can they do it before winter?
Yes. Okay. He just called me today to ask where we stood with this, and I told him it was on the agenda tonight because he said the schedule's filling up very quickly. At this point, he's looking at probably September, maybe early October.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve the contract for the roof replacement, as well as the alternate options for the formal tax office building and adjacent walkway, be awarded to Windy Valley Exteriors.
All right, very good. Motion is made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second to his motion?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is E. It's the adoption of a decision for conditional use application number 2024-03 as filed by Creekview Lawn and Landscapes, LLC, regarding establishing a landscaping and garden center use on the property located at 970 Bullfrog Valley Road. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The hearing for this matter was held on June 24th, 2024. The decision prepared by Pat Armstrong, if adopted as written, would grant conditional approval for the proposed landscaping and garden center use, subject to the conditions and restrictions set forth in the attached decision, attached to your agenda item. Additionally, the Dairy Township Planning Commission at their meeting on June 4th did recommend that the conditional use application be granted.
Any questions for Mr. Any questions for Mr. Emmerich? There was a hearing on this matter.
So the draft decision does have a list of conditions attached to it. I guess the question is, does the board want to add or discuss some of those conditions or add additional conditions that aren't currently in the draft decision at this point?
I have a question about the decision, and I think everything looks great. I think that this business is going to be fairly successful. I think a lot of people around that area will be very excited to have the option of getting mulch and firewood very close by. My only concern is appointments. I think that on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning in the springtime, it's going to be super popular to go and get mulch or soil products. And I just am concerned about that kind of area of the township. The business across the street is by appointment only. So if there's a way to make like the popular times have some appointments, since there's only 10 parking spots, I think it might make it a little bit easier in that part of the community.
And this would be appointments for the retail use on the
just property. The retail, yeah. People that were coming to pick up mulch and things like that, not anything else.
Any other comments or questions?
I'm surprised there's not a representative here.
Okay.
Do you want to reply to what your comment?
Just identify yourself so we know.
My name is Brian Holt.
There we go. My name is Brian Holt. I'm one of the owners of Creekview. In regards to the question, we really don't have, I guess, an appointment schedule set, or we weren't planning on having an appointment schedule set, but something that we're going to probably look into as we as we kind of dive into this section of our business a little bit. So we'll be able to amend things as we see fit. But I agree with you. I think we're going to try to limit the use of traffic up there if we can by any means and see how things kind of go in our first season with it. But
I'm guessing it's probably just like the springtime. I think yeah. It's going to be super, like it's very convenient for all of those homeowners that are up there.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be seasonal. I mean, we're kind of that entity that goes to suppliers and gets stuff ourselves. So we're trying to hone in on keeping things at base and at home. So if we can do that kind of ourselves, have people come pick up product from us, we're going to try to limit that to try to keep things, you know, moving aggressively, but also to a point where we're not going to be creating too much of the traffic. So I think we're going to try to limit that in our first season to see how we can manage that. But
if we added a condition to the approval that required appointments for just the retail side, such that people, if they were coming to get mulch, they just needed to call in, and you would control what time slot. If we said, what I'm thinking, and I think what we were all thinking is, even if it was, you could every 15, you can schedule appointments every 15 minutes. It would give you time to you guys could schedule that.
Right.
It would eliminate lines of cars out onto Bullfrog Valley Road, which is what we're afraid of.
Right.
And it would probably make it more manageable even for the folks working there trying to load mulch or other products into vehicles.
Right. I know Saturdays and Sundays, we don't have staff in, service members or our service guys are not on the weekends. And we're not planning on having Sunday hours for pickup or any, we're not having Sunday hours at all. So that should hopefully help with some of that strategy. So
if we put that condition in there though, if we just said generally 7 days a week, if you come in for retail, it has to be by appointment.
I wish my partner was here. We could discuss that a little further, but,
when is the majority of your retail? Monday through Friday?
The Monday through Friday would generally be the retail side of it, but it would probably be either first thing in the morning or later on in the evening. I don't see a whole lot of it happening during the middle of the part of the day, especially with contractors. If we have contractors coming at 7, other contractors coming at 7 to get material, that may hinder some things in the morning, but I don't see it being too heavily involved during the day, during the work day. People probably coming and going, but I don't see it being a whole lot in the day.
So if we don't put a condition on it now,
yeah.
I don't think we can change it later if it becomes a problem. And I will just, the observation I have up there is that the fitness facility, the rehab training facility, also, and then you have the school, the church and the school there. So you have a number of businesses that are potentially early morning during the week operations. I'm wondering if we just put a pause on this item and we let you go outside and call your partner and you can talk about it and see what would be reasonable. I mean, what we're thinking is we're not trying to limit your hours of operation. We're just saying no more than like basically 4 appointments in an hour. If you're going to do the retail piece.
Right.
And then we can keep going on our agenda. And when you come back in, we'll just reopen this up.
I need a call real quick.
Yeah, I don't want to put you. It's not fair to put you on the spot like that. No. But I also know you wanted
to talk. But no, that's fine. Let me give it a call quick.
Okay,
come right back.
So we're going to table this for a few minutes until Brian comes back in the room, and then we'll move on to the next item, which is item F. Thank you, Brian.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. So the next item then, in the meantime, is item F, and it's the consideration of sale of township property along Lingle Avenue, Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back in 2008, during the realignment, which I have an old picture and a new picture, if people remember Acorn 20 and some of the houses that were along there, the realignment of Lingle Avenue and East Chocolate Avenue required acquisition of right-of-ways, and because some of the homes that were along here were in the way of the right-of-way, acquisition of uneconomic remnants of land. At the close of the project, the township ended up owning 5 tracts. One of those tracts was sold to Gepfert's, and that was down in this area. We have 4 remaining tracts of property that the township owns here, which are shown highlighted on this map. One tract contains about 5,300 square feet, another one about 7,100 square feet, about 5,500 square feet, and these are coming down in order. And then this one down here, which was part of a duplex home, contains 3,286 square feet. Each of these properties are partially located within Derry Township, Dauphin County, and partially within Palmyra Borough, Lebanon County. Presently, we're using the property to dull our mower blades. These lands don't really have, in my opinion, much value to the township to hold on to. This first lot would afford a building pocket, and if purchased with the second lot, would afford a rather large building pocket, or this first lot could become yard area for the adjacent single-family home. Likewise, this corner lot would afford a building pocket if purchased. This remnant down here in the corner, which was part of a duplex lot, is only about 25 feet wide, and it's doubtful that this could be used for an individual building by itself. It could be purchased by an adjoiner for additional land. There, in each of these cases that I'm circling on the map here, those people decided to retain their uneconomic remnant, so they did not require the township to purchase it actually at the time. Likewise down here, the owner of this property is willing to put their property on the market at the same time, or possibly afterwards, to create a larger land mass in that corner. With that understanding, I'm asking that the Board of Supervisors authorize the solicitor to prepare the necessary documents to sell by auction in accordance with the Second Class Township Code, the four tracts of land. Pat, in my conversations with him, is recommending that we get appraisals of those four parcels prior to listing them for auction. The appraisal will not bind you to accept a minimum bid. Ideally, each of these tracts would sell for over $6,000. They could be sold privately for $6,000, but that again would require a appraisal.
Questions? Just
to further show you some of these. So the first tract, the most northern one, you can see that part of the house was in the way of the right of way. Likewise, the next property down, part of the house was in the right of way. And again, here, the large section of the home was in the right of way. And finally, you know, the duplex the home itself was partially in the required right of way.
I just have a couple questions about the sale of the land. I don't have any real opposition to it. I think absolutely we need appraisals. I don't have a problem with selling them, but at the risk of having the roof blow off this place, can I ask Lieutenant Roach, like, would there be a reason to put like a police substation out there?
I don't think that location would be very advantageous to us. Our call volume out in that location is minimal. I couldn't see any inherent value to having something out there.
All right. And how about Mr. Clark? Any thoughts? Is that land in any way helpful for public works to have anything there?
Mower salt.
Not that I would see.
Okay. And now the roof is really going to blow off. Mrs. Jacobine, do you think that, is there a reason that we might have a library substation out there?
Thank you for asking. No, I'm fine.
Yes.
A pickleball court.
I was good. No swimming pools, but.
I think we have enough of those. I don't believe so, based on it looks like there's like a parking or a road entrance between those three parcels. So I don't foresee something that would be suitable enough for a park in that area.
Even if we had, keep in mind, we could try to buy two pieces of parcels, the two pieces below there that aren't in green.
Carter asked about
they are.
I would have to see it in person, I think, to give more feedback.
Yeah.
If you don't move forward with it tonight, I wouldn't mind going out.
Well, we can go forward and order the appraisal of the properties tonight. And I do think that, because we have, I know Mr. Wyckoff, I heard him murmur, but I also, for the record, whispered to Mrs. Nutt first that, you know, we talked about a dog park over the years. I don't know if that's really a great location for one, but maybe. But if there's some other use, like pickleball courts, I know we've talked about that. It also has to fit within the Parks and Rec portfolio of what you're trying to offer and make sense, right? So, and I want, you know, before we sell it, right, if it has value to the township and we can turn it into something for all the residents, I think we should try that. But if not, I'm also fully satisfied we can sell it.
I'd like to point out two things. One, with your thinking, when this property was sold to the Gepfords, we did retain an easement. Should we choose to put a Welcome to Hershey sign on that property?
Yeah. I thought about that, Chuck,
so
when I first saw it.
Welcome to Hershey sign is already accounted for.
Yeah. Okay. I did think about that because it'd be nice to have like a Welcome to Hershey sign that wasn't owned by HENR, but it was actually from the township. And I should ask you, Chuck, is there any reason that you might want a community development substation out there?
Mountain bike trail.
I'd rather buy some additional sidewalks with the revenues from the sale of these properties.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's a good cause for sure. So.
And I want to point out, too, I mentioned that each of the properties is split by the county line. So the most northern one, a small portion of it is within the county or within Palmyra Borough. And as you move down the line, you know, larger sections of that property, this is the one at the southern corner of the Palm Street. And finally, even the tiny little piece of property down at the corner is split by the county line.
But those three up further west are all wholly, completely within the Derry Township boundaries, right? Those three?
No.
Those aren't?
That's what I'm saying. So this first one, this is the first one up at the top. It's just oriented differently. But you can see the north arrow.
Huh.
So the back tail of that is in the borough. We start to lose more land to the borough on the next one, and the other one is just about equally split by the borough line.
Oh, I'm looking at, I get it completely, yes. I know that area.
Each of these properties by the location of the home were assessed in Dauphin County.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we ended up with them.
Yep. Yep, actually, that is a good area for a dog park now that I see what side of the road it's on. I was thinking that was Chocolate Avenue and the that's Lingle. I know exactly where that is. That's, yes, I'm just saying. Okay, so I'd want please think about it. And in the meantime, does anybody else have any questions or comments about Chuck's request? Because we can just vote, we can just move to have the properties appraised at this point.
I'm just going to get it. Yeah, all you can, I mean, you can just authorize it to get appraised and you don't have to do anything with it once you get that.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to make any questions or comments. I don't want to cut anybody off. If not, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we have the properties identified by Mr. Emmerich in this agenda item appraised so that we may determine the appropriate value of those properties before deciding to take further action. Is there a second to my motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Corrado. Any further comments? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Now we're going to call Mr. Holt back up here, Brian. And this was item E. Again, we're discussing the conditional use application filed by Creekview Lawn and Landscapes. So, Brian, what do you have for us?
So we both talked and we kind of came to agreement. I don't think we're going to be able to accommodate like a set time for people to come in and pick up material. It's going to make things a little bit tougher for us to schedule and coordinate. But we both feel as though the lead time from transaction to getting filled with material and leaving the lot is going to be very small and few in between. So the time that's going to take to get somebody loaded with material and out the door is going to be very quick. The transaction is going to happen very fast. So that we're hoping that, so we're not really comparing ourselves to like a Stouffer's per se, where people are going to come in and park and they're going to go shop around. Most of our stuff is going to be bulk material. It's going to get loaded into a truck or a trailer, and then they're going to be right out, you know, right out the parking lot. So our goal is to help speed up the process to eliminate a lot of heavy traffic coming in and out of our facility.
Yeah, which I think that makes sense to all of us. It still, yeah. I think, leaves us with this concern that as fast as you guys can do it,
right.
You're going to encourage even more people coming, right? Because they're going to be like, oh, we can ride over there and get it really quickly.
Yeah.
But then they'll wind up with 20 cars on Bullfrog Valley Road waiting to get in.
Gotcha. Because I know we talked about doing like a contractor sales between 7 and 8, and our retail won't start up until 8. So we wouldn't really, most of our service crew members will be out by 8 o'clock. So that traffic will be here and gone.
Okay.
And then any contractor sales will come in at 7, and then they'll be out by 8 o'clock. And then our retail side would start up at 8 a.m. And we're hoping then that minimizes that gap a little bit between having too much traffic.
Okay. And is there any, so I'll ask our solicitor, Mr. Armstrong, like, can we condition a condition?
Well, I think what you're, my understanding of what you just said is that
yeah.
you're concerned with the time frame of one per 15 minutes, but not necessarily the requirement to require appointments.
It's going to be hard to facilitate appointments just because it's so variable throughout the course of the season, throughout the course of the day. On a rainy day, we might not get as much business than a sunny day. People might not be wanting to come in and get mulch to put down in the rain.
It's understandable. But I think it's clear that the board has a concern with the parking, the size of the parking facility,
right.
and the traffic that potentially could come with the retail piece of the use. So
okay.
As long as I'll be on, I think the board appreciates your response and your comments on this, on the discussion.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, if the condition is a reasonable condition based upon the testimony at the hearing and the concerns of the board being the limited parking, the anticipated traffic, It is a condition that the board could potentially put on the decision.
Okay.
So I guess the question is, does the board want to consider a requirement, a condition that the retail piece of the operation be by appointment only? And if so, do you want to include time frame of one per whatever time frame you were thinking?
So
I'm not sure, unless you have other ideas.
Yeah, no, I really didn't think about it, to be honest, because, this is kind of our first go around with this. It's a trial and error type thing, and we're trying to we see how other suppliers do it, and we're trying to capitalize on that and make it better. I know we are limited with our space, and we're trying to facilitate it in a way that isn't really going to create more negative but more positive.
So did I hear you correctly? There's not – it's been a while since I looked at my notes
from
the hearing and drafted the decision, but – there's not always going to be someone on site to for the retail piece?
No, there will be.
Oh, there will be.
Yeah, I'm going to my plan is to have an operator or a loader, a guy in a loader that's stationed there the whole entire day.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have an office. I'm actually going to have three office members. Two are going to handle the service part of the business, and one's going to handle the retail side. So the retail side will be facilitated by an office member and a loader member. So they'll be kind of in sync with each other to kind of coordinate that.
Brian, do you have much of a mulch business now, retail?
I'm sorry?
Do you have much of a mulch retail business now?
The only thing we do right now, retail, is firewood.
That's where you take it to people's houses.
Yeah, or some pickup. And that brings a good question, because we are also going to offer delivery services too. So not everybody's going to be able to come pick it up. You know, most people, capacity-wise, say they have more than 5 yards of mulch at their house. Most people aren't going to come in with dump trucks or trailers that can accommodate 5 yards of mulch. So we're going to be able to haul the capacity of up to 12 yards of mulch and bigger materials. So I think maybe between pickup and delivery, I think our delivery may be more heavily sided than pickup. So that may eliminate part of the traffic coming in and out of our facility, too. I guess it's going to take a good year to kind of gather all the data on this to see how things are.
Yeah, that is a good point. It is a good point you're making, Brian, because you're not selling bagged mulch, correct?
No.
So I couldn't come and get mulch from you. I'd need you to deliver it.
Right.
Go five times.
Well, only
we do that. We did that before, and now we're not.
Only if you had a vehicle that, like a pickup, that you could put it in. If you don't have a pickup, you're not going to pick it up.
Or anyway. A trailer, yeah. So, I mean, the reasoning behind doing this the part of the project is that it helps kind of flow our own operations, but then we can still offer it to clients and to residentials and to contractors that can, you know, we can load up their dump trucks for commercial guys, and then retail side maybe, I don't know, 70%. Delivery and 30% pickup.
So so you understand why we're struggling.
Yep.
Is the place across the street, that center, we really struggled with
right
hours of operation, the amount of cars coming in and out of there, because it is really residential. It's not really that area. I mean, I know that there was Ziegler's auction house and there were six people there every once in a while, right? But like for the residents that live there, you do have the school. We're trying to be fair to everybody. You have the school and the church up there. So certain times of day, you have school buses and cars.
Yeah.
But it is still a very residential area. So both the fitness facility and your facility have basically, these are not uses that normally would be allowed, right? Some people, you can just put whatever the zoning allows you to put in.
Yeah.
This is an area we actually have to authorize you to have a special use, essentially a conditional use.
Okay.
And so we feel an obligation to actually to look out for the residents up there too, making sure that we don't turn what was a neighborhood into, you know, a retail district, right? Which
that wasn't our goal.
I know when you look at Creekview in isolation, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But when you add it to what we authorized with the fitness center and we all have authorized it, we're trying to be really careful about how we any further authorizations we give up there. Gotcha. So I don't know where this puts us. Do we have to vote on it tonight? I guess we do.
So I don't think you meet again before the 45 days is up from June 20, whatever it was. So unless you were to grant an extension for the board to consider some additional potential conditions, you could conditionally authorize the decision with amendments that we're discussing this evening and still be able to maybe ultimately, when you sign it, send it out within the 45 days. But you have to, if they're not going to grant an extension, and you're going to have to take some action tonight so we know what to do with the decision so you can sign and get it out before your next meeting within the 45 days.
Rick.
I have two comments, and one's an idea, and it's very simple, and we'll take care of everything, all our concerns.
Hmm.
Just deny the retail portion. I know that's not what they want, but we can just deny them. Mm-hmm. In the absence of doing that, it's more of a question to Pat now. And Brian mentioned that it's going to take him about a year to figure this whole thing out. Is there some way we can condition an approval, a flat-out approval, and require them to report back to us in a year, and then make a decision on whether to limit their visitations, their retail, or not? I don't know how that works. That's why I'm asking the question.
We can try. It's never whenever you'd be agreeable. You're telling us that it's going to take you a year to.
Well, it actually probably take less. When I say a year, I call it our season. Our season's mostly starting like March 15th and ends in like June 15th. So by July, we're not pushing as much mulch. Or materials, you know, for that said, but
yeah, I mean, we can try to wordsmith a condition in there that'll address the concern and have you on the hook to come back in the event. Might likely the zoning department determines that there's a parking or traffic issue that's developing at the property.
Yeah,
that would be my suggestion. Is that if there is a perceived parking or backing up on Bullfrog Valley Road, that appointments would be required.
Yeah.
And see how it works out, but leave that hook in there, because when it's part of condition, it's part of the zoning law for that piece of property, so it can be enforced later.
So I'm clear, for purposes of the decision and the conditions, is the board considering adding a condition that would potentially require them to come back or address the concerns of the zoning department at some point in time in the future with respect to the traffic and parking, and not include a condition at this time with respect to appointments, or do you still want the appointments but still have the opportunity to bring them back? And
I think allowing him the freedom to run his business as he sees fit right now and then reporting back to us, a legitimate
report. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, no, no, that's our intent. We're not, yeah, so we want to be on the good foot, yeah. Yep, agreeable, yeah.
At least then it's there. Chuck, could you review your thoughts again? You're basically saying put it in there, but I don't want to say not enforce it, but put it in there, and then should there be an issue, it's already written in, and then the condition would be enforced.
It
would
just be an enforcement letter from my office.
But you're talking about whether or not they need to make adjustments, or basically, I think what Chuck is talking about is if the zoning department determines there's an issue in the future, not the condition for the appointments. Or were you including a condition for the appointments?
It could be a condition for appointments or other management of the.
Kind of like a hybrid of what Rick is saying, but okay. Without the reporting back. It's at Chuck and his department's discretion.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I don't know. I'm just trying to understand all the options on the table.
So potentially what the two conditions would be, we're not going to include the time frame for the appointments.
Right.
But we will include a condition requiring appointments and then also allowing the zoning department to basically keep an eye on the property and the traffic in the parking associated with the use to determine whether or not additional restrictions or adjustments need to be made in the future. Right?
So, Brian, you understand what, then you would really be under the gun to make sure you guys put together a plan, your business plan, in such a way that it just kept traffic off Bullfrog Valley Road. We're happy with as many cars you can get onto your site.
Yeah.
We just don't want backing up onto Bullfrog and creating traffic issues for the neighbors, et cetera.
Nope. I totally understand.
The only other option would be if time isn't of the essence, having Brian grant us continuance and then let Brian and his partner present us with a plan. Like you guys figure out a plan that you can live with that would satisfy us, and then we'll just adopt that as the condition.
Okay.
But that's only if time isn't of the essence to get this approval. We might need another 30 days.
Okay. No, I don't, time isn't of the essence. I know we still have to go through land development as well, or I think we still have to go through that process as well. Our initial hopes were to start in end of September, but I mean, we want to make sure we do it right, you know, going through the process.
Could we, I mean, do we have, does that make sense to Chuck and Pat if we continued this, if he granted us a continuance from whatever the run date is that you were mentioning, Pat, for like another couple of weeks, it would give them the ability to come to us and say, we've figured out our business plan, we think this is what will work, and then that's something, then we can come to an agreement as a group and not feel like I don't want to impose a condition on them that's going to hurt them, but also if they can come forward with a plan that satisfies us, isn't that the best solution?
I think so. I mean, I'm in agreement.
Because we did dump this on you tonight, like, and we're asking you for a solution.
Yeah, I came here sitting like, all right, let's figure out what it is, and I'm out the door. But
so when would he have to give us a continue? How would we work that?
It's probably up first or second week in August.
The time?
Yeah.
Today.
No, 45 days is not today. 45 days is before the next board meeting.
So you're like 15 days.
But it's not today.
Yes, you're right.
So the hearing was on 6/25, June 25th, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. 14, 21. This is the 28th day. We have 45 days, so.
So we got 17 more days.
Right, but it's still before your next, I guess your next meeting is the 13th.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why it's a weird month.
Yep.
Well, so we just have to have Brian give us an extension till that meeting day. And then the onus would then be on you to get us your plan within like a week or two.
Yep.
And then they can review it and we can get any comments back and forth, right? Like, can we work on it?
Yeah, I'll make it a priority by the end of the week to hopefully work on that, because we're, Tuesday? Yeah.
What I would suggest is, do you have Chuck's contact?
Yep.
Maybe if you don't have one, Chuck, I can send you one, a written time extension form, and just you'll be giving the township an extension of time to issue the written conditional use decision. I would suggest at least take it to the end of August, so you're not stuck on the meeting.
Okay.
And but can you represent to the board this evening that you're agreeable to granting the Board of Supervisors an extension of issuing the written decision until August 31st, 2024?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, and then what you'll get an email from Chuck tomorrow or the next day with a form that you just have to fill out and sign. That's a written confirmation that you're agreeing to extending the time frame until October 31st.
Okay.
And we'll try
August.
To get it.
August, yeah.
August.
Yeah. We'll try to get it done. The sooner you get a plan, we might have it done August 13th.
That's fine. Yeah, I'll try to make it a priority by the end of this week to get it to you.
You can coordinate with Chuck on it. Okay. And he understands what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just one thing to be clear. The hearing on the application is closed. So this isn't in the record. This is just deliberation as to the actual decision and the conditions of the decision.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think the board could have just put the condition in the decision and issued it.
Yeah.
But it seems like the board is making an effort to at least
to work with us.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, we're a kind and gentle body.
We're like that. We reciprocate that.
We want everybody to be happy, but so you're helping us, and we're gonna. I think we'll get to a better solution if we're working together.
Yep. That's fine. I'm cool with that.
All right. Well, then we'd have no reason to make a motion. Brian, thank you for helping us here tonight, and we'll look forward to trying to work this out. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you very much. I don't know.
You can.
How about I'll go ahead and make a motion to table this item until August 13th.
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda.
August 13th.
Is there? That's our next meeting.
Okay.
We just have to table to the next meeting if we get. Yeah. Is there any comments on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion to table, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously.
Before you, I am going to have him sign something tonight.
Okay.
I've gotten burned before, and I don't want to tell my board that they have to schedule a special meeting between. I'll be quick, but go ahead.
Go ahead. We can do the rest of it. You can go down there and work with him if you want, Pat. Because we're doing supervisor board or committee reports because that concludes new business. So, Mr. Zamuda, supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Border Committee report.
We had a morning transportation group meeting, which I'm going to allow Ms. Nutt to condense and report to. I do have two quick things here. Halloween is 99 days away, and Christmas is 154 days away.
Oh, jeez. Don't rush it.
Get shopping.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Corrado?
Nothing to report.
All right, Mrs. Nutt.
As Supervisor Zamuda noted, we had a transportation work group, and as usual, we spend a lot of time talking about ways in which we can help pedestrian traffic issues, traffic issues, and one of the items that we talked about was adding some additional asks to our gaming revenues, which include more signs noting folks speed around the township, and it sounds like we have all of the current speed monitoring devices currently deployed in the township. We could use some more. Talked about some road paving additions, and we talked about some of the grants that we have in the works and getting those grants implemented, including the ones downtown. Making good progress. We're always thinking about ways that we can make it safer for people who live here and who come here to visit as they're walking and they are driving. And it sounds like the drones were going to be up tonight with this big, big concert. It looks like, at least from what Supervisor Zamuda and I saw tonight, is the biggest of the season. So hopefully it goes well. I think it was like an early bird special. They started at like 5:30. So... and in addition to that, I also sat in on the library board meeting, and Allison updated us on some great things that she's doing at the library, which I'm sure she'll talk more about in her report. So that's it for me tonight.
All right. Mr. Wyckoff.
There was no DTMA meeting last night, so I have no report this evening. Thank you.
All right. Very good. And I have no report either. So that will conclude Supervisor Board or Committee reports. The first departmental report is from the Police Department, Lieutenant Roach.
The only thing I have is to confirm that the drones did go up tonight. I do know that. And it is a big show. So hopefully it remains quiet. But
when is it over? Will we be out of here before it's over?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we anticipate they'll probably be off stage by 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long show.
That's for sure. All right. Public Works. I'm sorry. So Dave Sassaman isn't here from the fire department, so we'll skip over to Tom with Public Works.
Just to update the board, we've been working for the last 2.5 weeks out of Homestead between 743 and 322. We have a very large patch out there in the hollow that we dug out and did some base repairs on, as well as a few other ones scattered in through that section. We finished that paving today. It's on track to get painted Thursday or Friday of this week, when Kinsley paints the temporary traffic lines through the roundabout. The roundabout seems to be on schedule to reopen next Monday morning.
Oh, fantastic. Great.
Okay, there'll still be construction in there to do, and there'll be work zones, but there'll be shifting lanes and what have you starting Monday to continue that work.
Great. Excellent. That's good news. Rick?
Just as an afterthought, the yellow line on Glen Road's been painted over.
Yes. Thank you, Tom, for following through on that. Yes. And getting that taken care of.
Painted over, you said?
It looks like it's painted over. It's like a black stripe right down the middle of the road.
I'll look at that. They were to eradicate that, not paint over. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
It's a dark line right down the middle.
You know, it is what it is. All right, Mrs. Jacobine, Library.
I just want to remind everyone that the annual book sale is coming up August 3rd through 6th, and then on July 30th, The Wizard of Oz is being performed by Bright Star Theater at 2 p.m., and then our silent book group returns on August 6th, and that takes place at 10 a.m. at Starbucks Town Square, and we're supposed to have about 75 people at our event tonight.
Oh, great.
Doing improv, so.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so. Should be over now.
Thank you very much. All right, Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Upcoming in Parks and Rec, August 16th, we have a drive-in movie at Schenck Park, and we'll be showing Encanto. There'll also be concessions available at the event as well.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Township Engineer, Mr. Stump.
No report from me tonight other than what Ms. Nunn and Mr. Zamuda said about this morning's transportation meeting.
Good. Okay. Mr. Emmerich.
Nothing more this evening. Thank you.
All right. And Mr. Crispin.
Nothing further to report other than to remind the department managers that we have a staff meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at DTMA. So I'm looking forward to just chatting about all of our administrative items that we have open. So see you all tomorrow. Thank you.
All right, that'll conclude departmental reports. The last item on the agenda then is the second public comment session. So the same rules as the first one. Anyone wishing to come forward can do so now. Just again, identifying yourself, first name, last name, address. All right, seeing as no one is coming forward, we'll conclude with the last visitor public comment session of the evening. And the last item then is a motion for adjournment.
I'll make the motion for adjournment.
I'll second.
Okay. I just have a brief, motion's been made, it's been seconded, you can vote on it, but I just want to announce that I do have a very brief executive session item to discuss following the meeting that I forgot before.
Okay. So a motion was made by Mr. Zamuda, seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.